Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM, firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Kyle Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. We've got a great show coming up for you tonight, but first we want to thank some of these fine people that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the waterfront restaurant at number 1 Yacht Club Drive, and the Medicare lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. But we'd also like to thank all of our sponsors and all you great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt, because SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So join the discussion on Facebook for more information on the topics of the day. Now, later on SBN, we will be joined by Mr. Eric Carney with Devoted Health, who is one of our sponsors, and who in his spare time volunteers with Southern Star Search and Rescue. We'll also be joined by Mr. Phil Quigley from Sage Health. They are part of a fantastic event over at the battleship this week at the K-9 War Dog Memorial. Dang, I had trouble getting that one out. K-9 War Dog Memorial. And will give us a sneak peek at what is coming up on Friday. And, of course, my tirade on Return to Sender. It's a new one. You don't want to miss this one, guys. But first, it's always an extreme pleasure to be joined on SBN by Ms. Corey Gaston from Waterfront Restaurant.
Esta llamada está siendo traducida y subtitulada en tiempo real.
What is all of that?
I don't know.
This call is being translated and replaced. Where did that come from? That's not you, Corey.
That's not me, no.
Yeah. Something bled over into us. But, Corey, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for the crew for your service. To all of our veterans, military, and our first responders, and having such great location and fine chow.
Thank you for having me on again.
The place is really coming to life now with the weather we're having. I had a chance to be over there the last few days, over the weekend, I believe it was, and everybody was on the back porch. Everybody was out on the water.
It is definitely patio season out there, that's for sure. It's been packed out. Every day, even before the time change on Sunday, like all last week and the week before that with the great weather, fans out there going, so you're getting a nice little breeze, and it's just a fantastic time to be sitting outside.
Well, it's really nice out there on the waterfront to get that breeze. You know, this is kind of a carryover from the old Ed Seafood Shed where we had the chance of being out on the back porch and all there. And the waterfront is just so fabulous and beautiful, and the atmosphere is just so unbelievable. At the same time, though, you've got the greatest food here on the on the Gulf Coast, and the seafood is just it's outstanding. Thank you so much for what y'all are doing.
Well, thank you. We love having it. So we had another exciting thing that started last weekend. Not only was it the start of Daylight Savings, but it was the start of live music being back at the waterfront for the season. So,
all right. Yeah. You brought back the jingles, huh?
Yeah, we're doing Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday brunches right now. And that'll be through April. And then once May starts, we'll go back to 6 days a week.
Good gracious. I tell you, it's just another exciting event. I see the bingo thing on Monday nights is just getting unbelievable.
It is. It keeps growing and growing. And, you know, it's for a great cause. This month we're doing Ansley's Angels, which is a new organization to our area. We did not have a chapter of them here before, and we've got somebody who's trying to get it started in Mobile, and they help people with disabilities run different races and stuff, and so it's really a fantastic thing to get behind.
Oh, okay. That would just be disabled veterans that you're talking about or not?
Not disabled veterans, but just disabled people in general. So they could be veterans, maybe not veterans.
Oh, okay.
But they
okay.
help them, like, so they partner them up with somebody to be able to run like a 5K or a 10K with them.
That's awesome. Do you have any new menu items that you're bringing on board?
We do. We had a new menu that came out a few weeks ago. It had all the old favorites on there. No one needs to worry about that. We didn't remove any of anybody's favorites, but we did add a few things. We added gumbo.
The old recipe
from the old Ed's is on there all the time now.
That's a meal within itself.
Chicken. It is. You can get it by the cup or a bowl or change it out for your side. So lots of different options on how to get it.
I used to get it in quarts to go. that makes a good meal, a couple of good meals.
Exactly. That's how our owner, Nick, likes to get it. He likes to get it in a to-go cup.
Right. I can understand that. Well, I mean, you know, some people are having problems trying to find out where you guys are located. Give us a little quick rundown on actually where the Yacht Club Drive is located at.
So we are less than a mile from I-10. You get off on the Daphne exit, and when you get to the Sports University right there on 98, you take a right. The Sports University is on the left. Take a right onto Yacht Club Drive. Follow the road down to the water. And we're right there on the water.
You're right on the water. I was noticing coming over the other day when I came over, then on the right, just before you get there, there's a Rich's Car Wash, and then there's a some kind of a boat yard or yacht club there, or yacht selling, a boat selling place. And then I think it's the second driveway on the right. So if you see the driveway on the left where the United States Sports Academy is, then the driveway, the Yacht Club Drive, is directly across the street from that driveway.
Correct.
Because if you're trying to get out of Yacht Club Drive back to leave, you look like straight down the driveway over at the Sports Academy. So that's a really, really easy place to identify where you guys are located at.
It certainly is. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. But that's where I've kind of aimed in on it to. I know they got all those condominiums and all that. It's on the hill in front of y'all, or in front of the restaurant itself. So, but I tell you, I had some shrimp, and my favorite is the shrimp and oysters.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I know you love those.
Yes.
You ate some flounder when you were there the other day, though, right?
I tried the flounder and oysters this past weekend, and
I
love that.
That's what I thought.
That's awesome.
I walked by your table. I saw you had switched it up.
Well, you know, you got to have a little variety in your life because all of it's good.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's so neat. What about, you got anything else going on? Well, I'll tell you what, the people that you've got this, with some of the bands, do you have any kind of list of some of them that will be there or the people that will be playing music?
There's actually a list posted on both our Facebook and our Instagram, and it lists who's playing on what night for the entire month of March.
That's awesome. Okay. And where'd you say it's located?
It's located on our Facebook page and our Instagram page.
All right. Now, is your menus and all on both of those pages as well?
You know, I don't know that our new menu's on there, but I can certainly get that up there tomorrow.
Okay.
You mentioned that. I'm not sure that I've posted our new one on there, but I'll definitely go post it on there tomorrow when I get in there.
All right. Well, that's a blessing. Now, what about some people starting to have a lot of their meetings and having the groups get together and all? You still have plenty of room for that?
We still have plenty of room. I mean, our restaurant is huge. We've got room for everyone to do all sorts of things. So if you need to book a meeting, have a lunch, have a dinner, you know, maybe just something in the afternoon for people to hang out and have some snacks and some drinks, just give us a call, or you can email me at CoreyG@PaniniPeets.com, and I can get you all the information you need on that.
All right, give me a repeat that, Corey G.
So it's Corey G, C-O-R-I-G, @PaniniPeets.com.
All right. Thank you so much for being on with us, Corey. Appreciate you guys working with us and taking care of our veterans.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
All right. Have a blessed one. As always, you can visit ScuttlebuttNetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, Mr. Eric Carney with Southern Star Search and Rescue when we return to the Scuttlebutt.
Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM, firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. If you'd like to listen on demand, you can also catch us on FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone. And my tirade is on castbox.fm if you need to get your blood pressure up. And we're joined on SBN tonight by Mr. Eric Carney with Devoted Health and Southern Star Search and Rescue. Eric, welcome to SBN, and thank you for your support for our veterans, my brother.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Can we get a little bit more volume out of you?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Is that okay?
There you go. Okay. Man, I tell you, it's a pleasure to have you on board. I've heard a lot about you, and we deal a lot with Brandon here with Devoted, because y'all have, you know, been working with us as a sponsor in some of our insurance brokers and all here on the coast that take care of our veterans and make sure that they have the proper insurance and all. But the thing that we'd really like to talk to you about tonight is your participation in the Southern Star Search and Rescue. Maybe you can enlighten us a little bit about that as to what that really is and how you're involved with it.
Yes, sir. So we're a team that's based out of Baldwin County. But we serve the Southeast, really, and we work with law enforcement agencies all over the Southeast to search for missing folks, both alive. So if they call us soon enough, we have trailing dogs, and trailing dogs pick up the odor of the individual person, and the dogs can actually go out and find that individual person. We also have human remains detection canines, and I'm a human remains detection canine handler. For Southern Star, and so we do that, and we also work natural disasters, hurricanes, any mass casualty events, any of those type of things as well. Yes, sir.
Well, how are y'all supported, Eric? Is this a federally funded organization or what?
We're actually a 501c3 organization with Southern Star, and so. We work off donations and grants. We have a phenomenal grant writer for the team that's really helpful. And then we're also a member of Alabama Association of Rescue Squads. That's AARS, and really, really proud to be part of that organization as well throughout the state.
That's unbelievable. Well, that being said, you're following a pretty good full spectrum of venues there for the dogs. And all of the capabilities that they're able to get involved in, I would guess that you guys stay pretty busy.
We do. You know, it's kind of wild. It almost comes in spurts. Like, we won't have anything for a little while, and then all of a sudden we just get hammered with all kinds of call-outs, it seems like all at once. And then we'll have a little bit of a break for a bit. But yeah, it's amazing how many law enforcement agencies have called us out, from Louisiana to Florida to even, we were up in northwest North Carolina during that last hurricane. So that was a crazy thing up in the mountains.
I can imagine there. Well, are those dogs trained for one specific phase of that search, or are they capable of doing two or three different facets of it?
Well, so each of our dogs are single discipline. For example, human remains detection canines, of course, we work a lot of criminal cases. So if the dogs happen to be dual trained in different, like to find live individuals as well as deceased, that could be problematic in court a lot of times.
And so
So we keep them single discipline for the odor work.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I'm kind of familiar with some of that. I've in the automotive industry over my history of 60, 70 years here in the coast. I was a certified witness for auto repairs and auto damages and things like that. So I had to, I couldn't, even though I was a specialist in the automotive rebuilding field, as far as the motors and transmissions and all that kind of stuff, I couldn't do both of those on the stand at the same time. I either had to be in charge, I either had to use my expertise on the body repairs and a collision expert, or either I had to be mechanical. I couldn't be both.
Yeah, otherwise the defense tries to tear you apart.
Right, yeah, they'll eat you alive, yeah. But that's so neat. Now, you know, we're really not familiar with this, I don't think, in the public area. But we as veterans are certainly familiar with the things that the dogs do in the field, you know, and helping us find IEDs and tracking some things there in that area. But we're not really familiar with yours. It's really neat to see some of the publicity come out about this.
Yes, sir. And you know, unfortunately, we've been part of some pretty, you know, high-profile cases. But then also, you know, cases that should be high-profile that are not.
Right.
And so we work hard with law enforcement to do the smallest thing, from trying to find just evidence to eliminating. A lot of the work that we do is eliminating spots for detectives. So
they
might get a lead on something. They run the dogs to see if the dogs pick up an odor of anything. And then that eliminates this area so they could focus somewhere else. So we do a lot of that work as well. So it's not all, it's not always going out and having a find. It's working very diligently with law enforcement to make sure that we help them with their cases.
Well, that being said, I would think that there's a heck of a lot of training goes into each one of these animals.
Yes, sir. We're nationally certified. And so the testing that we go through is the same testing that law enforcement goes through for their odor work. So when they bring up a dope dog, for example, they have to go through certain tests and criteria at a national level, and we have to do the same thing with our dogs. And we're also tested annually by a national testing source. So
that, do you actually have certifications for those, each one of those officers and those animals? I'm going to call them officers. That's what they are.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yes, sir, that's correct. Because again, the same thing. If there are some folks out there that quote self-certify, and the reason why that's not a good thing is because, again, it comes down to court. If you go to court and there's a case on it and you, quote, self-certify, that'll get tossed pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, right quick. Boy, that could lose the whole case.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would think that the cases, in a lot of occasions, are built around totally what those animal officers have been able to attain and sustain with their expertise, you know, as far as tracking and all. You know, and I saw a figure somewhere the other day, and I'm sure you could correct me to the proper percentages, but I was hearing like a dog has a smell capability of like 4,000 times greater than what a human does.
Absolutely. It's absolutely incredible. So they have an olfactory organ that is hardwired to their brain. It's on the roof of their mouth, and it literally, the odor goes directly to their brain. So when we initially start imprinting these dogs, we want, like, for example, we have these rags that we put in with human remains, and what you end up doing is you throw the rags, and then when they pick the rags up with their mouth, that odor is going directly hardwired to their brain.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. So it goes right to that sensor then?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. That's, yeah, so it's like putting a vision of an item in front of your eye. It's a direct link.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, I wasn't really aware of all of this, and even though we've been promoting veterans events here for 15 years on this show, here on our 50,000-watt radio station, 106.5, but Corey was at our last South Alabama Veterans Council meeting, and he's talked about the, one of the dogs that he has was actually trained to find waste in our sewage lines and in our waters, in our creeks and the areas around here. And the fact that it's immediate. You don't have to take a water test and send it off and wait 2 or 3 weeks for it to get it back to see if it's contaminated. They right on top of it, you know? And I would think that's the kind of the same area that you guys are working with and the parts that y'all are working with, which is more serious than when you're looking for a body.
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, people try and, like, cover up. So maybe they try and clean up blood or something
right,
like that.
Right.
They try and cover the odor with chlorine, with bleach. And the dogs can smell right through that. So you're not tricking up the dog.
You're not tricking the dog. Man, that is so neat. Well, it's just awesome to have you on board here with us, and we certainly appreciate what you guys are doing with Devoted Health here on the coast. And I know Brandon and his people and all your insurance brokers are doing an outstanding job taking care of our veterans and their insurance packages that are available for them. And we are looking forward to seeing you over there Friday afternoon at the battleship.
Yes, sir. We're going to set up a little demo and show y'all how Mayhem works.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I might have to stand on top of my chair or something, though. I don't want one of them dogs. I don't want to mess with one of them.
we'll have fun.
They bite this old man's leg off. What you talking about? Thank you, Eric, and it's a blessing. Now, Phil's going to be on right after this in our next segment, and we'll continue talking about this special event that's going to occur Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock at the battleship. Thank you, sir, for your service, and we appreciate what you're doing.
I appreciate you as well.
Thank you, Eric.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program of Voice of the Veterans for Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots right around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Cal Walters, I'm Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. But we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyers Colin Kimberly and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's newest eatery, the Waterfront Restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Agency, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by Mr. Phil Quigley for Sage Health. But also Phil is the Vice President of Marketing for our Vets Commission. And he's got his fingers in a lot of pies like somebody else I know around here. But Phil, thank you for joining us tonight, man. And it was really exciting to talk with Eric about y'all's event.
Eric, what a great guy. And that demonstration that he's going to put on with Mayhem. What a name, Mayhem. But, you know, Tom, I think he said he was going to put you in the biting.
No. I'll be standing on top of my car trying to get away from that dog.
But, it's going to be a great demonstration. We've got you had mentioned Cody, who spoke at the South Alabama Veterans Council. What a great job he did. And you did put something in perspective about the old factory. I didn't realize that either, Tom, because remember when Cody was talking about a dog could be blind.
Right.
Yet he could still almost, no problem because of their sense of smell.
Right. Yeah, that was amazing to know that the figures that he quoted there. I think he said 4,000 sensors.
Yeah.
4,000
compared to our 40 or 50.
Right. Yeah, greater than what a natural human has. But I think it's really neat. You're going to have Eric will be there, and then Corey.
Yeah, and Lloyd Pursley.
Then Lloyd
who
Pursley
was
there.
Yeah, and I know you know Lloyd really well.
Oh,
he
was good
a
guy.
Really interesting. Yeah, he sent me some information. He was a tracker during Vietnam where they used their dogs. He had a Labrador that they would find the equivalent like what are IEDs now and also explosives, and they would track the North Vietnamese too.
Right.
With their dogs. And he's going to be there, and Cody, and we're going to have demonstrations put on with Mayhem, and it's going to be a great event at 1:00 at the War Dog Memorial, and it's right there next to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial there at the Battleship Park.
Yes, and it's an awesome venue for us to have the Battleship Memorial Grounds over there and be able to feature our warrior dogs, as we were talking about now, in our Vietnam and our World War II, and then we've got the Purple Heart. They're just representing all phases of veterans. Period.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry, Tom. I was just going to say, and you said something. We want everybody to come out in the public. Whoever's out, please come out and see this because it's Canine Day on the 13th. And it's going to be a great interviews and demonstration.
Well, now that's going to be outside there, so so you need to bring your lawn chair if you want to sit around and listen to that. So, are we going to be able to get some actual interviews with the three handlers there? Or are they going to each one of them maybe give us a synopsis of their background and all?
Yes, they are, Tom. They're going to talk about what they did, during their time. We have one Vietnam, and we have Afghanistan with Cody, and we have another one that was in the Guard that also is a handler, and so they're going to talk about their time with the dogs, how the dogs were trained, how they trained them, kind of like what Eric went over, of how he trained. But what was interesting too. I know Cody, I think, was able to bring his dog back, but during Vietnam, they weren't able to bring their dogs back.
Right, yeah.
And what's interesting, too, the War Dog Memorial, Hank is buried there, who was one of, obviously it wasn't back during Vietnam, because Hank was buried there a few years back when General Cobb was the director before Mark came in, and Mark's doing a wonderful job.
Oh,
I think the world
awesome
was him.
Gentleman, yes.
He has, and so he will talk about. We'll hear Lloyd talk about Hank as well, and so it's going to be it's really interesting. And you said something too that was really interesting because I was listening to the interview. I didn't realize a lot of this either, especially what Eric was talking about. I mean, that was really interesting, and that's going to be a great interview too as well, and demonstration.
Right. Well, by these, I was trying to define as to whether or not these dogs were capable of handling two or three different specific duties at the same time, but undoubtedly they're not. They're trained for an individual specific event,
right? Right.
And by doing so, then they can certify those. Just look like insurance adjusters or insurance salespeople and real estate people, where each year you have to go get recertified and get your what they call them CEs.
Right.
And get the certification. So for these dogs to be utilized and utilize their what they did in court, they've got to be certified in that field only.
Yeah, they do. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to Eric because we went on Studio 10 the other day, and it was really interesting because I think Mayhem's about 7 or 8 now, and he's training another dog too. And what's interesting too, to add on to what you're saying, is not only does Mayhem, you know, commands through English, also German, and I believe Dutch, if I'm not mistaken, and Eric can correct me.
Yes.
But it's amazing because I heard him giving German commands to Mayhem.
Yeah. Well, these are not Heinz dogs that we're talking about either.
No.
You know, Heinz 57 varieties that we know of
here. Purebred.
Yeah, you know, these are thoroughbred dogs.
Yes.
And their Pacific breed has been determined to be great for a Pacific area, and maybe train easier than some of the other breeds do. So, you got a dog that's probably worth, you know, $100,000 or something there.
Oh, without a doubt. And what was funny watching Mayhem, he's a Malinois, a Belgian Malinois. And what was really interesting, and like a German Shepherd, I mean, as he was sitting there while we were on the show, it was like he was looking straight at Eric, like he was guarding Eric.
Yeah, he was, and he was guarding him, because he was in an unfamiliar surrounding.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like when we're combat vets or guys like yourself trained in service and myself in the Corps. You know, you get in an unfamiliar area. Everything's all is attention. You're looking everywhere, you're kind of checking everything out, and the dog doesn't know any difference.
No, they don't, and I don't think the civilians realize too. I mean, in a sense, and lack of a better way to say it, they are soldiers themselves.
Sure, they are
out there.
Yeah, they're veterans.
They're veterans.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
And one thing was interesting too. I was watching a German Shepherd, which was, you know, a handler was handling, and if you'll notice too, they'll have their back to the person that they're protecting, watching out, and it's amazing how they can be trained.
Well, and as I say, that's the dogs are worth $50,000 to $100,000. I mean, now service dogs are expensive, yes, because they have a lot of training, but they have to be a very versatile dog to do all the things that they do for that specific person. But the depth of training and specified training that these specific dogs go through now, when we start looking for a buried person or a buried body, you're tracking somebody like that, they're getting more sophisticated training in that single field.
So, it's just like Cody, and I heard you talk about Cody, because obviously we got to hear him speak.
Yeah, I was impressed with
the
Cody.
Veterans Council.
Yes.
I mean, and you think about what you were saying, the contaminated waters, you know, a lot of times they'd have to, you know, the waters had to be sent off, and how long was it going to take for them to test it?
We had no other way.
Exactly. And these dogs right then and there with their old factories and, you know, and like you said, 1,000 of them compared to our 40 or 50.
Right.
They know exactly right then what's contaminated and what's not.
They when that dog's sitting, when he picks up on it and he sits down or points on it, you know, that's a dead deal. You don't have to worry about checking that one, but you can do it to verify it. But well, it's really neat for you to put this together and make all this available over there. And
I appreciate that. Yeah. But you know, Tom, that's one thing that, you know, you and I are involved in a lot of the same organizations, and that's, you know, it's been a pleasure, because it's just like with the Mobile Bay Area Veterans Commission, we're trying to get all the word out there. There's one thing I've learned, you know, we always think about Veterans Day. We think about the night before in certain things, but they don't realize there's so many different days. I didn't realize March 23rd is the Medal of Honor Day.
Right.
And that goes back to 1863 when you know, it was the first Medal of Honor was handed out.
We got a hard break, brother.
Okay.
All right. But let's get this get a little word from our sponsors here and get this tirade underway, and we'll have a couple of minutes when we come back.
Sounds good. I'll be right here.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, Fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
It is hard to make this stuff up. Yesterday, dozens of Democrats voted against a non-binding resolution in the House that reaffirms Iran as the largest state sponsor of terrorism. The resolution, put forward by Representative Brian Mass, Republican from Florida, passed nonetheless by 372 to 53 vote on Thursday, with all of those voting no being Democrats. No surprise, among those who voted against the measure were all the members of the squad, such as Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat Barista from New York, Somali Rep. Ilhan Omar, Democrat Welfare Fraud Queen from Minnesota, Representative Ayanna Pressley, a Democrat anti-Semite from Massachusetts, and Representative Rashida Tlaib, Democrat Hamas sympathizers from Michigan. Each of the women, I guess we can call them women, are dedicated American-hating Marxists. Well, maybe not AOC. She was just a prettiest to show up for the audition. Who are only electable because of the high immigration population, both legal and illegal, in their districts. Omar should be thrown out of the country for immigration fraud and fostering the billion-dollar theft of taxpayer money in the state of Minnesota, most of which was funneled to terrorist organizations and warlords in Somalia, and probably into Omar's family coffers as well. Of course, these are the same Mensa members who went to blame white Christian males for everything that is wrong in this country and the world. However, they might want to take a bit of a history lesson before blaming Christians for events today that are a consequence of conflicts that happened more than 1,000 years ago. Yes, the Crusades were bloody, but they were largely in response to Muslim intrusions into Europe. That's right. Even in the barbarisms of the day, when Muslims were selling their fellow travelers into slavery, the Crusades were a response to Muslim aggression, unprovoked attacks, and debauchery. And with regard to the Crusades, the eminent historian Bernard Lewis in 2007 spoke to the American Enterprise Institute and has been widely quoted, "I would not wish to defend the behavior of the Crusaders, which was in many respects atrocious." But let us have a little sense of proportion. We are now expected to believe that the Crusades were an unwarranted act of aggression against a peaceful Muslim world. Hardly. The first papal call for a crusade occurred in 846 CE, when an Arab expedition from Sicily sailed up to Tiber and sacked St. Peter's in Rome. A synod in France issued an appeal to Christian sovereigns to rally against the enemies of Christ and the Pope, Leo IV. Offering a heavenly reward to those who died fighting the Muslims. A century and a half and many battles later, in 1096, the Crusaders actually arrived in the Middle East. The Crusades were a late, limited, and unsuccessful imitation of the Jihad, an attempt to recover by holy war what has been lost by holy war. It failed, and it was not followed up. In other words, we fought the good fight and left them with much of the Middle East, including the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, upon which the Muslim invaders planted a mosque over one of the most holy sites of Christianity. Sounds like a perfectly peaceful and well-meaning religion to me. But let's look a little bit closer at the peaceful religion to which the squad gives such deference. In 732 AD, a Muslim army which was moving on Paris was defeated and turned back at Tours, France, by Charles Martel. In 1571 AD, a Muslim army navy was defeated by the Italians and Austrians as they tried to cross the Mediterranean to attack southern Europe in the Battle of Lepanto. In 1683 AD, the Turkish Muslim army attacking eastern Europe was finally defeated in the Battle of Vienna by German and Polish Christian armies. This had been going on for 1,400 years, and half of our politicians don't even know it. Give me a damn break. If these battles had not been won, we might be speaking Arabic and Christianity could be non-existent. Judaism certainly wouldn't be. And let us not forget that Hitler was an admirer of Islam. The Mufti of Jerusalem was Hitler's guest in Berlin and raised Bosnian Muslim SS divisions, the 13th and 21st Waffen SS divisions, who killed Jews, Russians, Gypsies, and any other subhumans. In 1783 AD, when the British colonies that would become the United States of America gained independence from Great Britain, five Muslim countries of North Africa declared war on our newly independent nation, hijacking and kidnapping merchant sailors and selling them for ransom or into slavery. When the United States of America was established, we were forced to pay extortion fees amounting to a majority of our federal budget to those Muslim countries to keep them from their hijacking and kidnapping. It took two administrations, Washington and Adams, to build a sufficient navy so that President Jefferson in 1805 could send the Navy and Marines to conquer Tripoli and end the piracy. Islam has been at war with the USA since our founding, not because of our freedom and culture, but because we refuse to bow to their Stone Age religion, which diminishes the human being to property at the will of unelected fanatical imams and ayatollahs who slaughter people because of comic drawings and who rape history in order to give birth to the next generation of fanatics. If this little bit of history is a little too far afield for you, then maybe some more recent examples might bring you into the light. How many of you remember? Number one, in 1968, Bobby Kennedy was killed by a Muslim male. Number two, in 1972 at the Munich Olympics, athletes were kidnapped and massacred by Muslim males. Number three, in 1972, a Pan Am 747 was hijacked and eventually diverted to Cairo, where a fuse was lit on final approach. It was blown up shortly after landing by Muslim males. Number four, in 1973, a Pan Am 707 was destroyed in Rome, with 33 people killed when it was attacked with grenades by Muslim males. Number five, in 1979, the U.S. Embassy in Iran was taken over by Muslim males. Number six, during the 1980s, Americans were routinely kidnapped in Lebanon by Muslim males. Number seven, in 1983, the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut was blown up by Muslim males. In 1985, the cruise ship Achille Lauro was hijacked and a 70-year-old American passenger was murdered and thrown overboard in his wheelchair by Muslim males. A 70-year-old in a damn wheelchair? Yeah, that's the kind of peace-loving religion I want to bow down to. Number nine, in 1985, TWA Flight 847 was hijacked at Athens and a U.S. Navy diver trying to rescue passengers was murdered by Muslim males. Number 10, in 1988, Pan Am Flight 103 was bombed by Muslim males. Number 11, in 1993, the World Trade Center was bombed the first time by Muslim males. Number 12, in 1998, the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania were bombed by Muslim males. Number 13, on 9/11/01, four airliners were hijacked. Two were used as missiles to take down the World Trade Centers, and of the remaining two, one crashed into the U.S. Pentagon, and the other was diverted and crashed by the passengers. Thousands of people were killed by Muslim males. Number 14, in 2002, the United States fought a war in Afghanistan against Muslim males. Number 15, 2002, reporter Daniel Pearl was kidnapped and beheaded by a Muslim male. Number 16, in 2013, Boston Marathon bombing. Four innocent people, including a child, killed. 264 injured by Muslim males. Number 17, 2014, thousands of Christian men, women, and children are slaughtered, defiled, and beheaded by Muslim males, and millions of Muslims and non-Muslims are held hostage in Syria, Iraq, Somalia, Yemen, and countless other places throughout the world. End of this strike home to you for the progressives who love to listen to SBN because it gives you more of a rise than your latest bong hit. Does the magnitude of the evidence overwhelm even your THC-addled minds? Probably not. It's hard to get over the TDS. Any of the new and refreshing stuff that the rest of you missed in school? I don't know. Any of it makes so much damn common sense that you now realize exactly who we are up against? A damn man. Come on, guys. And when taken as a whole, do you now understand just how much we are at war with Muslim Marxist fanatics? Within our own country and even in our own government, just how blind they must be to reality to ignore the weight of history that we are facing. Unless this is just another part of transforming our country into a caliphate of slaves and submissives. No, maybe, just maybe, the answer lies in what we, the good, honest, decent, hardworking, dedicated veterans of America are not doing, demanding some real action in order to root out these Islamo-Marxists from our government and our country and return them to the third world hell holes from which they came. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. President Trump, keep the pedal to the metal. Detain, deport, and decapitate the head of this traitorous snake here in our country. Now, damn it.
Where's your drill, Sergeant, man?
Forward up, sir!
Forward up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, yeah!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program of Voices of Veterans for Veterans on 106.5. I hope I didn't mess it, too many people's feathers there, get ruffled with that, but the truth is the truth. What do you think, Brother Phil?
I'd say, you know, we're sitting here listening to the list, several of us out here, and excellent. Everything you said was on target.
Well, it's just that is what it is, Phil. But we'd say, back to our other subject there.
Yeah.
The event we have Friday is, rehash that, get to that information out. We've got about a minute is all we got.
Okay. It's at the, obviously it's at the USS Alabama Memorial Park at the War Dog Memorial, which is right next to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and starts at 1 o'clock. We're going to have three veterans out there talking about each what they did with as dog handlers and trackers, and it's going to be awesome. And we're also going to have Eric Carney, who's with Devoted Health, and he's going to be doing his tactical demonstrations with Mayhem.
Amen. Thank you so much for being on board with us, and appreciate what you do. Remember, guys.
Well, Tom.
Hero is not a four-letter word. Hoorah!